well as being a biomedical engineer, Giuseppe Schionti is founder and CEO of Novameat, which is working to reinvent meat using advanced food technology and has become known for its innovative approach to creating whole-cut plant-based products with the aim of replicating the texture, structure and experience of real meat. In this conversation, we talk about the science behind structured plant-based meat and how Novameat is running pilot projects with leading European meat processors to integrate its ingredient technology into blended or hybrid meat. I'm Alex Crisp and welcome to another episode of Future of Foods Interviews. All episodes are free to access across platforms, so please like and subscribe. So welcome Giuseppe Schionti from Novameat, which is a Spanish food technology company based in Barcelona, focusing on creating plant-based meat alternatives that meet that whole-cut fibrous meat substitute with kind of mimicking texture, look, and cooking behavior of real animal meat. So Giuseppe, can you just introduce yourself a little bit and sort of tell us how you got into this industry and what sort of drove you to start Novameat?
Yes, thank you first for the opportunity to join your podcast. I am a bioengineer, so I've been working before opening the startup. I've been working 1 decade in biomaterials, and I was working in biomedical applications such as organs regeneration, tissue regeneration, normally for biomedical purposes. Then, because I was using several technologies, including several microscopic technologies to get the texture of several biomaterials to be useful as a application for biomedical application, creates texture and membranes and organs. Well, I discovered that some of the applications I was using, and starting with 3D printing, were very useful to really create something with the right texture with plant-based ingredients that could be really interesting for the food industry. So I switched from biomedical applications to then opening the startup, which is Novameat, which is based in Barcelona, even though I'm Italian. And when I was here in my postdoc in the university, then I decided to open the company in the boom era of alternative protein, which was in 2018, even right before the boom era. And because the way the company is built, because it's B2B, and because our technology works really well for plant-based application and for balanced protein / hybrid meat application, now we are seeing that we are really getting some very good tailwinds in this 2026 year, which for many companies in the space is not great. It still seems like in the moment of a valley of death after the bubble has burst. But for us, especially when we go into balanced proteins, we are seeing there is a huge interest with the beef prices increasing for our technology and partnering with protein distributors, including meat companies.
Mm. It's interesting you say valley of death. I've also heard that called the trough of disillusionment. But at the conference in Chicago, the Future Protein Production Conference, there was talk that we are coming out of this trough or this valley now. How do you see that in Spain? How is the attitude or the sentiment changing towards this industry?
Yes, it depends on the geography. We are in Spain, but we are B2B and international, so we really have a partnership in different regions in Europe. Spain is has never been really a land where ultra processing was so exaggerated like in the UK or like in the US. So for this reason, the product also from the beginning were a little bit healthier, okay, the plant-based products. So there has not been a bubble and burst like in the UK or the US. In Italy, in France instead, where we also operate, the wave of alternative protein, the wave of plant-based products for flexitarians has been late. So because it's been late, has been really surpassing this bubble burst, and it's growing. So France, Italy is growing. Other regions such as the Netherlands, because there is always been is always been the pioneering place where you test new exciting products, where people really care about environment, animal welfare, and ethical and also environmental things or reasons. Then in that case, it's also very stable and growing. In other regions such as the UK or the US, there has been really a problem of backlash with ultra processing, also because of the resurgence of carnivore diet, or getting protein from meat or all dairy. I've seen Kennedy in the Trump administration now really pushing for everything that seems to be supernatural, which is whole milk and beef. So the young people are a little bit confused because there is a GLP-1, there is eating a lot of meat, which in Europe, especially Mediterranean, including Spain or Italy, where I come from, has never been a land of where you eat a lot of meat. Originally, it was a lot of very healthy food, fruits, vegetables, grains, cereals, legumes. Now, in the last 50 years, there has been some more meat, okay? But the Mediterranean diet, which is together with the Japanese diet considered the one that really helps with longevity, has never been heavy in meat until the last 50 years. So I think growing Spain, but especially Italy, France, growing because it's never been a big thing, and because it surpassed this kind of high tech moment where you had this first generation of products that were a little bit long list of ingredients, very ultra processed. Sometimes very high tech, trying to really replicate. I'm not in favor of, by the way, replicating 100%. I'm in favor of creating, generating, and producing good food. Okay, from the very beginning, this was our strategy. So because you mix this with B2B, we are in a good spot now.
Okay, so what is the I mean, if the Mediterranean diet there is pretty good already, what is the problem which Novamit is offering a solution to today?
Well, first, we do not target only Mediterranean. Mediterranean actually is one of the hardest regions to target, just because people are used to eat traditionally good food, and they feel that the food, everything that is new, it's kind of not great, just because the diet is considered very healthy. Okay, so we target across Europe, different geographies. In the case of Spain and Italy, our Novamit provides very high quality plant-based textures, okay, in the format of blocks. When you want to use it for mince application, for hybrid meat or balanced protein application, or when you want to do pooled products that are based on really very high quality ingredients, such as our yellow pea protein-based cuts, okay. So we by default create high quality products. Now, because we created the technology that do not require high temperature, and it's not high moisture extrusion or low moisture extrusion, we have created a technology that allows you to use a wider range of ingredients, more natural, we believe, because a wider range of aromas, natural aromas, a wider range of spices in our mix, and a wider range of protein, right? We are protein agnostic. So because it's high quality, the plant-based textures and cuts we can provide, both for balanced protein application and for plant-based applications, we do not encounter any problem when we target Spain or Italy, except that normally traditional food is considered super healthy. Now, in Germany, when there is a lot of processed meat, it's different. When you buy a sausage or a plant-based sausage, people already know it's not super healthy anyways, right? When I've been always in podcasts, I've been saying, listen, I think people should eat more legumes. I think people should eat more fruit, vegetables, and legumes. Especially for young generation that look for texture and look for high protein, high fiber, sometimes Young generation are not really tending towards legumes, even though that seems to be great, a great opportunity and a great product. And so having something that can improve the nutritionals of meat with our balanced protein application, or something that is plant-based and very high quality in ingredients list we use, then this can seem also very interesting for every region across Europe.
Okay, so you have specific technology, I suspect, that kind of enables you to. I mean, you said that your technology enables you to use the ingredients at a lower temperature. So how does this technology separate you from your competitors?
Yes. Well, strange I answer in the fourth or fifth question, but Novamit is all about technology we have developed, which is called the MicroForce or micro extrusion, which is a new technology that is, as I said, low temperature and allows you to create different cuts that other people cannot do. Cuts meaning when we do plant-based, we do pulled, we can do cold cuts, we can do whole cuts. Okay. These are formats that competitors cannot do. Or in blind taste, when we test against our competitors, we win. Okay, in pooled, our pooled products are tested against different competitors. We checked and thought this was the best competitors. And in blind taste, by us, by top chefs, or by aroma providers, every blind test I've been with our pooled pork or pooled beef, we always won 100% of the time in blind taste. Okay, so when it's plant-based, and this is about the finished product. Specification where we do 100% plant-based, and we do, for example, the pulled, which is something like the smash burger. The pulled, these are things that are growing in popularity. Okay, you can use it in carnitas, in tacos, you can use it in burritos, etc., etc. When it comes to balanced proteins, well, we win against the TDP. Again, in blind taste, you can do comparisons against standard, meat extenders that were not very healthy, like TDPs or like fiber powders. And we win against them just because not only it's better than them in blind taste, but also we can increase the inclusion rate. While TDPs and powders can go 10, 15% of inclusion, we've been able to go 35% of inclusion and really superior to competitors that have been using that ingredient as a balanced protein enabler. At half of the percentage inclusion rate. So this means you can save a lot of money for the beef processors mostly, because beef processors in Europe buy at about one, sorry, 8 euro 50 per kilo, which is an incredible amount, because €5 per kilo was about 3 years ago the standard, and now we are in a cycle where we don't know if the things will go back to normality. However, for the next 3 years, beef processors in Europe and the UK are going to buy and are buying at 8 euro 50. And we can provide something for half the price. When you increase the percentage of inclusion rate at above 30%, you can really save money. And the product that you can get in a beef mince or a beef burger or a beef meatballs or sausages, etc., can get more protein than the meat counterpart. So when you mix it, you can get more protein, you can get more fibers and lower saturated fat. Still beating on taste test, not only against competitors, but we tested it 20% against the animal most sold beef burger in Spain, for example. This was 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so you're saying that your product can be mixed with actual meat products at a sort of 30% level. Is that what you're aiming for? Are you kind of working with meat companies now to do that?
Yes, so we create plant-based kind of cuts, okay? It can be blocks, such as the ones I'm talking to you about. And these blocks, we have seen a lot of commercial traction from animal meat companies. I'm talking about the largest animal meat companies in Europe, because they're interested about, especially the beef processors, about including this for, as you said, above 30%, actually 35, 40% because of price, because of nutritionals. And we have seen also very good traction, surprisingly, also with chicken manufacturers. So yes, what you're saying is right, except we go normally above 30%. And yes, we were surprised that meat processors really are looking very, very actively for our solution, because the counterpart solution, PVPs or fiber powders, don't even come close. We do double the inclusion rate, and ours is superior than even if it's a double inclusion rate, and you want still to get that juiciness and that texture that you want to get with the standard beef burger or beef mince product.
Okay, so because it's still in the UK, at least, it's still unusual, or I'm not sure if I've seen it at all, to go into a supermarket and get a hybrid meat and plant-based product. Do you think that's going to be more common in the future? I mean,
yes,
clearly you do.
Very common.
Yeah.
Very common. We are, you know, I know for sure there is a huge interest in the UK as well. And I know that it's much easier to explain to somebody that this is more protein, more fiber, less saturated fat, because it's not like meat. It's great, the industrial meat that you get in supermarkets, okay? So you can get a new application or a new format in the Netherlands and Belgium. Okay, this is growing very fast. Netherlands and Belgium, in Albert Heijn and Jumbo in the Netherlands, it's very common. In Belgium, it's one of four beef burgers from Lidl. It's already hybrid. Okay, Germany, because there is Lidl, Aldi, these guys are super independent. They don't care about the trends, fiber maxing, protein maxing. They don't care about ultra processing backlash. In the UK, they are going to go all in anyways. So there is two groups. There is Marks & Spencer, which is like, we want to have as less ingredients as possible, even though it's not true. Sometimes it's false, right? You just check and they have to change now the label because they discover that they're not actually using two ingredients, but they're using five. So there is going to be products, and there are already products. Normally the meat you eat is already 90% meat and 10% fibers. Okay. Normally that's the standard, maybe 95% in some countries, 98% in other countries, but because you can get something high quality, if you can get something high quality in terms of protein, fibers and lower saturated fat, then I believe this is growing 100%, especially because there is a very strong interest in decreasing the cost of production. Nobody is able to buy beef anyways, so they will have to switch to pork or poultry. But what happens is pork and poultry are also dependent on volatility. In pork, here in Catalonia, we have a huge outbreak of African swine fever, okay? So the prices are going extremely low or extremely high, depending on the week. Poultry, it's obviously dependent very much on several health kind of factors that can affect the chicken. And every time there is a report online or on television, it's not looking great. You know, the standard way of growing meat industrially. I think there is a better way. I think what we provide is always the same. We provide plant-based cuts, okay? But because our plant-based technology can be used in plant-based, 100% plant-based products, or in hybrid meat / balanced protein products, we are very happy that people can buy more of our solution because we think it's healthy, mostly.
Okay, and you provide your products B2B rather than B2C. You don't have any products in the supermarket with Nova Meat on them.
Yes, we have some, but they don't have the Nova Meat label on it. It's like an Intel inside. Okay, hopefully I'm going to grow better than Intel lately, but it is like Nova Meat inside. You find this sometimes when you buy, you know, whey protein powders. There is some players that have, you know, they add some creatine and they have this kind of B2B play. We have very good ingredients with a very good quality. So sometimes we produce it ourselves in our factory. Sometimes we are going to produce it from different factories in Europe, and they are going to use Nova Meat technology in that. You can find, if you watch closely, some labels that is being produced by us, okay? And our product is already in food service in Spain, Italy, Switzerland, France, Netherlands, Belgium, and the UK already, okay? But it's not with the name of Nova Meat, okay? Sometimes there is different names, different brands. People bet on us, and it was originally first distribution, like Compass, Sodexo, Bidfood. These are large distributors that put these products into the catering or into the, you know, into the corporate canteens, or it can be on restaurants. And now we are going into the manufacturers. So now we are partnering with the manufacturers. So you are going to find this in the supermarkets, but sometimes it's not written on it because we produce with our technology at their factories already.
Okay, and how do you decide which ingredients to use in your products? What's the
First,
mechanism?
we always look long term. We don't do stupid mistakes of choosing ingredients that can be, you know, looking good in the short terms in terms of unit economics, but then can get some kind of long list of ingredients or something that can spark negative interest. We always been very selective on ingredients, but because we are able to work with a wider range of ingredients, because our technology doesn't need to work high temperature, then we started with the most premium yellow pea protein, which is great for the amino acid content, digestibility, the soil, et cetera, et cetera. We are able to work with more premium proteins or more premium oils or more premium fibers, et cetera, just because, not just, but because we have developed our technology, right? So yes, we normally work with yellow pea protein as a base, and now in every product, we still work with yellow pea protein. However, we've been testing with rice, with soy protein, with fava, with lentils, and it worked with all of them. So it depends on the client. Normally, everybody likes our default yellow pea protein kind of suggestion. However, we are happy to adapt. Also, because ours is zero allergen and no intolerance in our label than they normally prefer in Europe, especially the beef or the meat processors not to include soy or gluten in their factories. Okay. And because they want to replicate what we have here in Barcelona, which is a BRC certified facility, which is 100% plant-based, so vegan certification, no gluten certification, etc. So they like this style, and because our cost of production is very competitive and very competitive both for plant-based and for hybrid meat applications, then they normally start with our suggestion, and then we just tailor-made sometimes if they are very large companies.
Okay, so Novamit, you said that you started in 2018. Is that right? So you raised money during the boom, and I think recently you've gone through a sort of Series A raise. Is that right? How did you find that?
Well, at the same time, very difficult to go against the, you know, against the current, because we've seen a lot of B2C companies going down, especially B2C companies. Now, because we have been focusing and working 7 years, right, or almost 8 years on very difficult, hard technology that it's coming out as very simple and sophisticated once you have scaled up. Okay. We are now in a position of strength. So, what we wanted is get a war chest to survive this moment of complications in the industry where there is confusion and there is, as you said, a disillusionment phase. But we are very happy because when things are difficult, you can win easier, even if it seems strange. I remember Ayrton Senna, which was you know, the F1 driver in Brazil, right? Brazilian F1 driver said, "You cannot surpass 15 cars when it's sunny, but you can do it when it's raining." Okay. So when things are difficult, because we have been doing difficult things in the last 7 years to build our pilot plant, to do it with a technology that is scalable, we use off-the-shelf machinery that the meat industry is using, then it's our time now. And it's the exact same situation when the dinosaurs went extinct, because now we are very light asset, B2B, very small team. We have 8 people in our R&D team, and we are much stronger than any meat companies can be in knowledge about plant protein anyways. Okay. So when we go with our small SWAT teams to the meat factories, companies or plant-based, we're much better at R&D than them. We just present our technology, can tailor-made the solution, very light asset, B2B, it's what is going to work now. And luckily or unluckily, we have chosen the right strategy. We obviously, it was a matter of other external factors. So it was not like we envisioned the future, but we have done what we can do best, which was for sure B2B. And it was for sure getting this plant-based technology ready at scale, at commercial scale, for when the tides are turning, which is now when the beef price is very high.
Okay, is your technology now at scale? Are you producing at scale now?
It is already at scale at our factory. When we produce at the partner's factory, it goes even faster and it goes with even more efficiency. But I've seen from last week that we've decreased the cost of production very, very much. Last week, I've seen it going down so much that we can be much more aggressive now into our commercial push, both into balanced protein as well as into the plant-based protein sector. It's a moment of consolidation, okay? It's the same as after the internet bubble. When there is a moment of consolidation, if what you have created has values, and if you believe that there is a space for proteins other than standard meat for different reasons, it can be for price, it can be for quality of certain nutritional values, or it can be for versatility, whatever. We believe we are very lucky in this situation because, as you said, raising our Series A with the number one and two of biotech largest venture capital investors in Europe, Forbion and Sofinnova, allows us to even accelerate now in moment of confusion for the others. And people, when there is confusion, like to work with us because we have very clear what is our added value of what we propose, right? We have, imagine, I go with you and you are a beef processor. You don't tell me how much it costs, but I know already it costs 850 to you because I've been meeting for with 50 of your competitors, okay? I will tell you that you can get half the price and we can get to inclusion rate of 35%. We go to your facility, we do a demo. We do a demo with you. We do a demo also with the best flavorists or the best chefs in the world. And we show our product, what is the price and what is the quality. And normally, or always so far, it's been better than what you can do at in-house and obviously more cost efficiently.
Okay, so with the money you raised from Series A, how much runway has that given you, and how soon do you think Novamit will be in profit?
Well, because we are a private company, I would say that a limited answer to that, which is obviously we have, when you are a venture capital backed company, you sign papers and documentation, so there is something you cannot say. However, what I can say is that we can go for infinite amount of time. The point is how much you want to grow, how fast you want to grow. If you can accelerate, then you look for more capital, and you can look it for venture. You can ask the banks, etc. That is the same as profitability. You can choose if you want to be profitable or if you want to just run and try to accelerate. So it's the same. Runway shortens and profitability, it's worse if you decide to just invest more and grow faster. Okay. And we can choose that if we want. But because things are going well, maybe we look for more capital, maybe not. It depends how fast we want to grow outside of Europe as well. Because now, after we are getting this technology used across Europe, we will want to go outside. And maybe we need more push, or maybe not. It depends. So the answer is we can go forever in runway and we can be profitable. However, normally companies, if they grow fast, choose not to do it. It can be extreme cases of Amazon or Uber, which is not our case, obviously. But it can be a good signal if you do it properly and with the right unit economics. The problem is, you need to have what is called the bottom line, the unit economics. You need to know that if you grow, then you have the margins that are safe. And in food, you need to pay attention. Now it's much better with B2B because when you, in B2B, you are not only providing technology, but we have developed the technology in-house. So we know exactly earlier than we install this technology at another factory at what speed, at what levels we can get certain margins, etc. Every time we do the innovation in-house, so we do not make mistakes in unit economics if you get the wrong calculation. Okay. So it's not only about predicting the unit economics, but you can also test in-house with the, you can test and check at scale how much this would change. So I think we are going to be in a good place and we're focusing very much on getting the right partners now.
Okay, so you think collaboration now is key to kind of getting the right you know, the right kind of price fantasy, the right kind of infusion into kind of into the supermarkets. I mean, I heard somewhere, I heard that sort of fifth in Europe, in the EU, 50% of customers are eating less meat, are choosing to eat less meat. So perhaps now is a good time.
Okay, so first collaboration, yes, because if you work with a huge company and you want to go in distribution in different geography, these guys are the champions in their geography. We're not going to be first. We are B2B, so we partner with somebody anyways. So we try to work with the best, most innovative protein. Okay, we see protein companies, which can be plant-based protein companies or meat protein companies. So we partner with them in every geography. We choose some of the top. Normally, one of the top five of the best top meat or top plant-based brands in every geography. And that's why we met Alex at the Future of Protein Production Conference, you and I. And I was in the panel, I think, with Roquette or Cargill, I don't know, or Beyond. So now, in the moment of consolidation, there are not many. The bandage, it's easy to see who has the real technology, who has not. So we work behind the scenes, and we care about our reputation. So, and then you asked me about, sorry, you asked me about collaboration, and then the second question was.
The second question was, I heard Tim, I think it was Tim Pulkowski of ProVeg said on a panel recently that 50% of consumers are reducing their meat intake,
Well, yeah.
which I thought was an interesting statistic and very different from the USA.
Yes. So first of all, so I really take this statistic with a grain of salt because people say something and then they do something else. Okay. So this it's true if you check the numbers and the statistics and all the questionnaires that people want, would like, say they would like to reduce meat. Now, with the prices of meat going high, this is for sure becoming more similar to the reality. Okay. So people cannot afford or just don't buy any beef meals or beef meals in supermarkets, for example. They prefer a mixed beef meals. And in general, I believe that there's going to be more diversification. I've been believing this for a very long time. Over time, it's a trend that is obvious. It's going to be protein diversification. This is obvious. Now, if you get the right timing, if you get the right product, the right format, etc., it's going to be familiar format. That's for sure. That's why there is a lot of debate on the names and the burgers, sausages, etc. When it comes to hybrid application or balanced protein application, it's very easy. It's a matter of price and a matter of quality of ingredients. We can for the meat companies, we can take out those additives they use in their meat, okay? Because normally they want to use preservatives or colorants. We can take those away and include ours, which is only limited in comparison to what they have and very simple to read in the label. So at that point, yes, I believe that people want to either reduce or find different types of protein in the shelves. And if ours is in some country in the Netherlands, they publish it as less saturated fat. In other countries, I believe that because our solution can do high protein, they maybe want to do higher protein meat, which is very strange, right? That you can increase the protein content with our plant-based solution. And fiber, which is going very, very strong, inclusion of fibers. I asked my mother, and my mother said, "Yes, I think it's makes sense in balance. It's like you can get the meat, and you can get a little bit of fibers as well in what you are eating, right?" Which is it seemed very obvious and very savvy at the same time.
So what's your opinion on have you been in talks with any cultivated meat companies to sort of create hybrid products using, you know, the new sort of cellular agriculture technology?
Yes, in the sense that we have a platform, right? As now everything is about platform in AI, Anthropic and OpenAI are winning because they're a platform, they can conquer everything. We have a platform from texturization which is just superior. Why believe that nine muscle extrusion and low muscle extrusion, which is 99% of what everybody uses. I believe this percentage will grow, and I believe this platform can be used. Normally, what we use, which is plant-based ingredients, it can be used, and we've tested it, and it works very well with cultivated fat, cultivated protein. Now, we are not doing that now, but you know, if in the future it makes a lot of sense, I don't think it's going to be very different. And I think about this for 10 years, because I've been working in cultivated organs before, right? I told you I was working with the stem cells, etc. I always thought it's not going to be very dissimilar than functional ingredients when some top aroma companies are going to give you a functional ingredient that provides you the umami, or, you know, and these things, you know, are not going to be very different when you get these from fermentation from top aroma providers, or when you get that from cultivated. Now, the point is, the cultivated companies need to provide something that is superior to what you can buy from a functional ingredient when you get a, you know, an aroma or a spice from a top aroma provider. You know, I've always thought, I remember once I've been with one of the most famous cultivated meat companies. We just brought a gram here, a gram. And I said, okay, let's try it with our rapid prototyping machine. Instead of with a large machine, we try with a very small machine. And we brought the top, it was at the time number one best restaurant in the world. And I asked the chef, listen, this is the control, and this is with this fat. Do you see the difference? And he said, no, I don't see the difference. And I said, guys, if you provide something that at the threshold, 1% gives superior flavor, makes sense. If you don't see any difference, or it costs much more than the umami I can get from mushroom concentrate that I can include in our technology, I don't see the advantage yet. But I've been always very, very interested. I've been an expert in the field. You know, I've been discussing about cultivated. You know, Alex, we created the largest cultivated whole cut piece of meat in the world in 2021 in the pandemic. It's in the news. If you all watch on Food Navigator or Forbes, Eggfunder or Bloomberg, etc., we've been doing tests all over the place. Okay. Now we are focusing on our platform, and this normally we use always. Now we use plant-based ingredients. Sometimes we use aromas that are natural, but sometimes they come from, you know, spices. They can come from fermented ingredients, yeast, you know, it depends. They can come from onion concentrates. So I just think our platform can work with everything. And when I brought the patent back in 2018, I remember one of the independent claims I made was make sure that this technology can work with every ingredient, and I can test this. I can test this before I write the patent, and just write that this technology can work with plant-based, with animal meat, with you know, animal fat, with you know, mushrooms, yeast, etc., etc.
Okay, well, I have a last question for you, and then I'll let you go. In 5 years, or 5 or 10 years from now, what does success look like for Nova Meat?
We are the preferred partner to get the plant-based texture, format, and technology, both for plant-based brands. Okay, so a lot of brands are going to consolidate. The top three are going to stay, and we are going to produce several SKUs, several products for them, where they cannot do and we can do. Second, we are going to go in every country. We have a partner, which is normally a protein manufacturer, and very normally it's an animal protein a partner that has a factory, which normally is a plant-based factory that they have invested back in the good days of 2021, etc. They have spare capacity, and they use Nova Meat instead of using extrusion. So then in every country we have distribution, and we are in supermarkets with our technology. I don't care if it's with the name, our name or not. What I care is that the products are very good, so that people have repeated purchase, because I think our product will be in the shelves of the supermarket and in food service in every country, in every major market in Europe, and in 5 years already also in the US, in Latin America, in Asia, and Middle East. That's I think, because it's, you know, that's my job. So I really, really believe in it, because it's when you are a visionary founder, either you're right or you're wrong. So far, I've been right 90% of the time.
Okay. And are you able to say the name of the meat companies that you're working with?
I will be able to say it when I will actually write to you when I have the, because when you do the documents, sometimes you have NDAs, which are non-disclosure agreements, so you are not allowed to say. What I can say is that we are normally talking with the top five in every major market in Europe already, and more than one of the top five. And I believe that I will have some good news this year. In 2026, we are going to be at the Plant Forward conference in Netherlands. Then we are going to the New Balance Protein conference in the Netherlands. Then we are going to go to PLMA. Then we are going to Tutto Food in Italy. Then we are going to Seattle. And by when we are at Seattle in October, we will have something to share for sure with you if you want to pass by our stand.
Yeah, well, perhaps you'll be at the Future Protein Production in Amsterdam in November as well.
Yes, that's as I've done already this year. We have met and I was in the panel and yeah. I met you right before joining the panel. I would be very happy to go there again. I just didn't mention because I consider September to September because I have three kids. So I go, my year is... Yeah, I consider Seattle because it's very big, but September. Then next year, which is school year, September onwards, then I will be with you in again at the Future Protein Production.
Okay. Well, I look forward to hearing about the progress because I do want to, you know, I am kind of excited to see these products in the supermarket, these hybrid products. And I do believe in 5 years from now, it's going to be quite common to go into a supermarket and buy these.
Yeah, it's going to be common and it's not going to be, listen, this is a filler. No, this is something that is high quality and you actually want to have it, right? Yeah. You want to have it. It provides fiber, it provides protein, it provides lower saturated fat. And ideally, our reputation and name, it's good enough so people know that we are trying to do a good job and we don't focus in the short term, but we focus on getting something really, really good for the consumers.
Well, thank you very much for coming on Future of Foods interviews, Giuseppe, and I'll be following your progress. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.